It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Enjoy the show.
Yes, good afternoon. We are coming to you live from Studio 8 in the Radio Centre today, which is RTE's famous dedicated music studio. Why are we here? Because we have one hell of a session lined up for you lads to kick off the show. I am joined by the wonderful Sharon Shannon and her band. Hello, everybody. You're very welcome. Yeah. Great to see you, Sharon. Yeah! We also have Alan on piano. We have Jim and Jack on guitars. We have Luke on Hammond organ. We have another Alan on bass, and we have Steve on drums. So we're going to chat to you all in a couple of minutes, and we're going to build up to that big band sound. So we will be hearing from all of you. But will we kick off with a tune, Sharon? I think we should. This is Music for a Found Harmonium. And this is Sharon accompanied by Alan Connor on piano.
Okay.
Take it away, lads.
Ready, Alan?
One, two, three, four.
And that was Music for a Found Harmonium. Love it.
That just gets
into your bones. And that's one that you play at all the gigs, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't think that we ever do a gig without that one.
Oh, it's just mighty. Absolutely love it. So come here. You're gearing up for a busy summer. Lots of gigs lined up. And do you look forward to this time of the year where you're back out in the road and it's back to back?
Yeah, I love doing the gigs. Yeah, great, really good fun. Great hanging out with all these lads as well. I love them all. They're all just the best ever.
Well, you've known these lads for a long time, so it must make it more crack to gig with. And
oh, yeah.
Easier to gig with? Like, can you imagine gigging with anybody else now?
Oh, well, it's very important that you get on with the people and have a bit of crack. All right,
a bit of banter.
Is, yeah.
A bit of banter. Yeah. All right, well, talk to us about the gigs, because you're playing three tunes for us today, and it's to launch a trilogy of gigs that you're doing in Whelan's in August. So am I right in saying it's like three different gigs to showcase the three different styles of music that you play?
Yeah, well, it's three different bands, really, or three different types of gigs that I do. Sometimes it's just me and Alan, so that's what you just heard, myself and Alan Connor. And then sometimes it's a three-piece gig with Jim Murray and Jack Maher. So, and the two lads play two acoustic guitars and Jack sings as well. Jack is a great singer and songwriter, and he plays mandolin as well. And then the big band version is with Jim and Jack, plus Alan on the bass, a different Alan over there, Alan Elliott, and Steve on the drums, Steve Hogan, and Luke Dunford on Hammond and keyboards. So that's the us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of us.
6 of you, yeah. So mm-hmm. I love it. So depending on what you're feeling on the night, or what, you can go to gig one, you can go to gig two, you can go to gig three. And I love that sense that you can kind of, you bring something new every night.
Yeah, three different type of shows, yeah. And different material every night. Apart from, we'll say, the old favourites that people like to hear as well. We'll keep those few ones that people want to hear every
all
night.
All the time.
Other than that, there'll be three different, completely different shows.
Amazing. I love that. So they're happening August 17th, 18th and 19th in Whelan's in Dublin. You've also got a sold out gig at the Galway Folk Festival with Steve Earle. Then you're off to Canada. Then you're on the acoustic stage in Glastonbury. You've been a regular at Glastonbury, right, for a number of years?
We did it for years. We did about 10 years in a row or something, but we haven't been there for a good few years.
So that's exciting
really
to get back.
Looking forward to going back. Yeah,
that'll be a good one.
Yeah.
You're in Drumcolliher, Carnival, the 25th of June, Ramelton Festival, 7th of July, 9th of July, Ballina Arts Centre, Mayo, 22nd, 23rd of June. You're in Laois, 29th of July, Balbriggan in Dublin, and 23rd of September, the Johnny Doherty Festival in Donegal. Like, when do you sit down and put your feet up? thing for this lady.
Yeah, well, I had loads of time. I was out in the sun a good bit as well, and swimming, and had the dogs out swimming and everything in the last week or so, enjoying this lovely weather.
Okay, yeah. And then building up to going on the road as well, which is obviously where it's your happy place too.
Oh, yeah. One of my happiest places at home.
Okay.
I love being at home. I'm just a complete home bird.
Brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, the next tune you're going to play is called Jigatha Christie.
Yes.
Am I saying that right? Jigatha Christie.
You are.
And this, you're accompanied by Jim Murray and Jack Maher. Jim is on acoustic guitar and Jack is on electric. Yeah. All right, acoustic for this one.
Yeah.
All right.
Jack plays electric in the band and acoustic then with the gigs with Jim.
Okay.
This
over to you, lads.
This is a set of gigs. Thank you.
Of your heart, as they say. Absolutely brilliant. That was Sharon with Jim and Jack there on guitar. So Jigatha Christie, you have to, where's that name from?
It was Jack that christened the tune Jigatha Christie, but I can't think of hardly any examples at the moment, but Jack says loads of things that rhyme with Agatha Christie.
Agatha Christie. Okay, oh, okay. Yeah.
Like as if he's going out to smoke a fag, he's going out for a fag at the Christie. Or your bag. This is the bag at the Christie. Or.
I love it. I can't think of you know it works. It works.
So there are hundreds of them. I don't know why I can't think of any of them now on the spot.
Oh, brilliant.
But it's funny.
I love it. All right, the next tune you're going to play for us, and I was chatting to you earlier, Sharon. So this is named after a dog you once had called Gaffo, and I know you're a dog lover, and I was saying to you, you would have loved being in studio yesterday. We had five huge majestic Irish wolfhounds, and they were just magic. I mean just being in their presence, and I know your dogs, cats, everything. How many dogs do you have at the moment?
I have five dogs and nine cats. Yeah,
okay. So Gaffo is not with us anymore.
No, he's not.
Okay. Okay. So and what other dogs?
Their names are I have two collies.
Yeah.
Sammy and Begley. And
Begley, named after
the bold Seamus,
the one and only,
yeah,
the one and only Seamus Begley. And Jim and myself were just reminiscing. We met in Fremantle in Perth. Were we saying, Jim, 20 years ago? Jim was playing a gig with Seamus Begley, and I happened to be in town. Well, it was one of the greatest nights of my life.
Of course,
none of it ended up on television because it was all X-rated. But we'll say no more.
I'm delighted you got to meet Seamus.
It was a mighty session.
Yeah,
he's a great man.
God,
he was a great man.
Such an amazing character, such a lovely, lovely person, and a really, really, really funny and amazing musician. And we all miss him so much.
Honest to God. Mm-hmm. Honest to God. What a legend.
Yeah. Anyway, one of the dogs is called after him.
Seamus. Yeah. He'd be delighted with that.
Yeah. And then we have Fonzie and Foxy and Nasher.
Okay. Nasher.
Yeah. Yeah.
AKA like from the Beano.
Oh, yeah. And he looks just like him.
Love it. All right. So this tune is called Neck Belly and Gaffo's Ball.
Yes, yes.
Love it. Mm-hmm. The full band are going to play on this one. So we have Jim, Jack, Alan, Steve, Luke. So in your own time, lads, take it away.
Yeah, in case people were wondering what a neckbelly is.
Yeah, what is that?
Neil was asking me earlier on, and I was trying to describe to him. People assume that it's a double chin, but it's not really a double chin, it's the neck. It's, you know, when you say, fat on your back, you call it, I have a belly on my back.
Yeah.
So, but you wouldn't know anything about that. But if you have fat on your neck, but like a frog has a big fat neck, so that's a neck belly.
Neck belly.
So it's not really a chin.
Okay.
A double chin.
So. I get it. Neck belly and Gaffo's ball. I'm interested to hear, lads. Sorry, how did you come up with that?
Well, we saw someone with a neck belly on telly one time, and
Oh, brilliant. All right,
so
let's
hear
you.
That's how it came about.
Let's hear it. This is Neck Belly and Gaffo's Ball.
I put on my headphones. Hold on a second.
Okay, take your time. Take your time.
I'm using all the time up talking.
Well, let me just, while you're getting set there, I'm going to remind people again, the gigs in Whelan's are August 17th, August 18th and August 19th. So it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a good one. Oh. All right.
All right.
We've got our cans on. Yeah. We've got our mic organised. She's got the box ready to go. Yes, yes. Let's do it.
Thank you.
amazing, amazing, amazing. Whelan's is where you got to be in August to hear that sound. Absolutely incredible. Thank you all so much for coming in.
Thank you, Catherine.
Oh, Jim is on his feet. Hold on now.
It's Sharon's birthday today. So we're going to play her a quick rendition of Happy Birthday. Is that
Sharon,
all right?
You are a divil.
She didn't know
you
me
tried
knew.
To keep this quiet. You are a divil. Happy birthday! Not letting you away with that, keeping that quiet. Happy birthday!
Oh, thank you, Catherine, and thanks for the flowers.
Oh, my God, thanks for coming in to spend it with us. Are you a birthday person, or...?
I had forgotten about it, only someone reminded me yesterday. Yeah.
Oh, well, listen, happy birthday.
Yeah, I was hoping you didn't know.
And we've got a lovely bunch of flowers in for you. Now,
absolutely gorgeous.
You can't keep anything from this crowd, clearly.
Thanks, lads. Thanks very much.
Have you any plans for later now, or are you going to put the feet up?
What'd you say?
Have you any plans for later now, or are you just going to put the feet up?
Oh, going home to Galway afterwards, yeah. I have to go through a load of stuff, though, for...
Yes, you've things. Got a very... Oh, tell me quickly about that project that you're working on.
It's a box set. It's coming out at Christmas, but I have to have everything ready. It's of... The, 12, all the 12 studio albums plus a brand new one, and so all the finishing stages of that has to be done, plus there's a book of photographs going to accompany it as well, and everything is going to be big because the first album and the last album are going to be vinyl, so
wow.
It's a big package, and the book of photos are going to be big as well, like 12 by 12 inches.
Oh, my goodness.
But I'm still working on all the final stages of putting everything together. So
the deadlines are looming.
Yeah.
But what an amazing present. And you're having that out for Christmas?
Yeah, it's coming out at Christmas, but I have to have everything ready in the next few days.
Okay, your life's work needs to be done in the next few days.
I'm working in the car on the way up here and in the car on the way home as well.
Oh, well, listen, we look forward to that as well. Always a pleasure to see you, my dear, and happy birthday again. Thanks for being with us.
Thank
you very much for seeing you all. Good luck with the touring.
Thanks
Back
for having
after
us.
This.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Right, well, I'm back in Studio 7, slightly out of breath, because it wasn't the distance between the studio, it was me actually dancing to all the tracks. Lots of love coming in for Sharon. Love to hear Sharon play the Blackbird. I saw her live in New Ross on my birthday. She was brilliant. And that comes in from Jenny in Wexford. Catherine, could you wish Sharon a happy birthday with love and best wishes from myself? That comes in from Damien. Good afternoon, Catherine. Any chance, please, of a shout out to my mother, Nuala O'Dowd in Dunleary. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday morning and spending time with the best mam in the world. And that comes in from Liam and Sullivan O'Dowd in San Antonio, Texas. So there you go. All right. It is time now for me to tell you about this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz, and we are looking for two of you to come on air after 4 o'clock, as we do every week, to answer three whodunit questions each. And they could be on anything: music, sport, TV, books, politics, films, comedians. And we are going to give you clues. So if you answer without a clue, you get 2 points. And if you opt for a clue, which is easier, obviously, you get 1 point. And we have a fantastic prize. We are giving away 2 nights bed and breakfast plus dinner for 2 people at the River Lee Hotel, which is part of the Doyle Collection. And they're celebrating late summer getaways with their range of new summer offers, from making a night of it to curated weekend experiences. There is something for all weekend breaks in Cork. They have a lovely riverside location, gorgeous bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit a lazy summer evening too. So as I said, it's a 2-night stay with dinner on one evening at the River Club. So you can check it out. doylecollection.com/Cork is the website. And all you've got to do is answer this question. Harry Styles is playing which iconic castle this weekend? Is it Slane Castle or Blarney Castle? So give us a call now, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. And you know what? Let's hear from the man himself. The wonderful Harry Styles there. All right, you are heading to the airport, you've made sure you've packed the passport, you've checked twice, you've cancelled the milk, you've gotten someone to water the plants. But have you thought about the useful travel tech you could be bringing with you, whether you're flying away or even driving to the coast? Noise cancelling headphones and tracking tags for your bags could be your best holiday buddies. So to talk me through it all, Elaine Burke, the host of For Tech's Sake podcast, is here to give us a breakdown of what is good to have in the hand luggage and what's good to have in the suitcase. Elaine, good to see you.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
So let's start with the noise cancelling headphones, because they are just non-negotiable in our house and in our suitcases. We've got to have them in. They were very expensive, but now you can get them much cheaper, can't you?
Yeah, like they can go as low as, I think, maybe 50 euro for a good pair. Now, I would say when it comes to noise cancelling, you should get bang for your buck, or no bangs for your buck, as the case may be, because the more expensive ones are more advanced in terms of the noise cancelling technology.
Okay.
But if you're not too fussy about the noise cancelling, if you don't mind a few little things getting through, then the lower end ones will be absolutely fine for you. One thing I would say though, for headphones, for the over the ear ones, they are great. I find them more comfortable for the long haul things, but I wouldn't advise wearing them for takeoff and landing, because you should wait until the cabin pressure has kind of equalized to put something like that on your ears, because you might get discomfort when your ears don't pop correctly and stuff.
Okay.
Like that. So that's a little pro tip.
That's a
good
tip.
Yeah.
What I also like about them as well is that if you don't want to talk to the person next to you, it's a very clear signal that, you know, the little in-ears people might not see, but if you want a little bit of space and a little bit of privacy,
yeah, 100%.
Kind of a good one.
Put an eye mask on and some over-ear headphones and no one will talk to you.
Totally. All right, the other dread, I suppose, for people these days can be their mobile running out of battery. I think it's something that we all panic about. So I generally keep a charger in the hand luggage, you know, if you've got airport delays or anything like that. But these portable chargers and the power banks, they're a good investment too.
Oh, 100%. Like I've had portable chargers that I got in goodie bags years ago at tech events that I still would bring on holidays with me. Because not only for your phone, like say if you're bringing, like I bring a Polaroid away with me, like, but it's charged via USB. Yeah, but it's got a USB charger on it. So if I think that that's going to run low on battery, I can bring the portable charger for that. Like if you get a big enough one, you could charge up a laptop, charge up an iPad. What you're looking at there is the capacity of the portable charger. So you'll see these figures that have an M, capital A, H, and that's the milliamp capacity, and they're normally in the thousands. So you're looking at, for an iPad mini, you need at least 6,000 milliamps to fully charge that battery. 11,000 for an iPad Pro. Phones, like if they're really powerful phones, probably in around 8,000 milliamps for them. So look at the capacity of what you're buying.
I haven't a clue what that actually, I know what you mean, like it's a bigger drive into it.
Yeah.
But in terms of space, say in your hand luggage, you know, you can, the little ones for the phones are small enough and they're not heavy. So are you talking about if you need to charge a laptop or a tablet, are there lightweight versions of those?
Oh yeah, like they basically can pack a lot of that power into the size of an everyday smartphone for a good bit of power, because they don't have any other components of the smartphone to contend with. So they can pack a lot in there, but do just check the capacity is going to give you what you need and charge up enough devices if you wanted to do multiple things, and charge it before you go away.
Yes.
So that it actually has a charge in it as well.
It's ready to go. I know it's an obvious one and it's not new, but travel adapters, it's the kind of panic when you get to the other end and you've like, you've forgotten it and trying to find one. So that's one to remember to put in as well.
Yeah,
right?
So often forgotten. I leave mine with my passport so that I never forget to throw that in the
and
bag.
And there are the real fancy ones now that work for anywhere in the world. They've got all the different plugs on them. Are you a fan of those, or
yeah,
do you like the individual ones?
They're handier because I don't have to have multiple adapters. I just have the one and I can bring one wherever I go, which is really, really useful. And some of them that you get now also have USB connections in them, so you can just plug your phone charger USB
straight into the
plug adapter, which is really handy.
Okay, perfect. Now, the other thing that we're all doing now is boarding cards onto our phones, even those, me included, who wouldn't leave the house without the printed version. I just always had the fear. But now, not just boarding cards, but plane tickets as well. We can put those on our phones. So have you done that? Is that how you travel now, with your plane ticket on your phone? Is it all airlines that allow that, or what's the story?
Yeah, I mean, I haven't travelled on an airline that didn't have like digital boarding passes, digital tickets in a long time. Now, if you do check in the airport, you probably will get a physical boarding pass. But a lot of the time you'll have done it at home online and you'll have it on your phone. Now, some of the proprietary apps for certain airlines will tell you that you have to download their app to use that boarding pass. That's a lie. It's just a scanning code. It's just a barcode. So once you have a PDF or even a screenshot, that will do. Now, it has to be nice and clear, and you want the brightness on your phone up. If you've had trouble going through those screens before, that's, it's often to do with the brightness on your phone being too low to get the contrast of the barcode.
That's happened to me a number of times where you try to scan it and then they ask you to increase the brightness and immediately you go through.
So that's something that if you've had trouble before, to look at the brightness of your phone and see if that's causing you any issues, and just make sure it's big enough as well to scan, but also not too big that it fits inside the window of the screen.
And again, just going back to what we were saying earlier, you want to make sure that the phone is charged. That's why I always have the printout version anyway, just in case.
I would always recommend having printouts, to be honest. Now, I used to carry things on a USB, but in the age of heightened cybersecurity, people don't like to plug strangers' USBs into their system. So printouts, no friction there.
Yeah.
If you have a printout as a backup, it's light, it's not going to take up any space, and it's there as a fail-safe if anything goes wrong. And if anything goes wrong, even on the tech side of the airport, you still have your... Your boarding card.
Okay. Talk to me about tags. So these electronic tags, we've got Tile tags, we've got Apple Air tags, in terms of attaching these on your luggage, your passport, whatever you want, whatever's kind of valuable to you. And then you always have a track on it.
Yeah, there's loads of different style of tags. Like Apple has a few different types. And then there's a company called Tile who's been doing these kind of tags for a very long time. I think they were one of the first to market that I was aware of. And they have different versions. There's one that looks like a credit card, so it can sit in your wallet if you're worried about losing your wallet while you're away. You can attach one to like the case on your phone. You could put one in the pocket of your kid, like if you're worried about losing track of them. But you know, moral implications there. Make sure the kid is informed as consented to that kind of tracking. But I think putting it on the luggage maybe will give you some kind of peace of mind. But at the end of the day, if your luggage gets lost, you'll just be able to see that it's lost.
You're going to Chicago.
You won't
be able to
track it down. Like the point of these is really that it'll show you on a map where the item is and you'll be able to track it down. Whereas if your luggage is in the wrong country, I don't see you following through on that. You'll still have to contact your airline and hope that they can sort it out for you.
Yeah, well, most of my friends have the little tag on their phones.
Yeah.
You know, because we have to find my iPhones, but they're a great way, you know, if you can't, if you're like me and you're kind of losing things quite a lot, it's a good way to keep track of it. This is more low tech, but definitely a way of keeping your high tech stuff safe. A waterproof phone case.
These are great because a lot of like holidays involve some beachside or poolside activity, or even, you know, getting out on a boat to do some sightseeing on the water. And people don't often think they're going to be taking photographs. They're going to be whipping their phone out here and there, and they could easily drop their phone or their phone could get splashed. Now, most phones have a high level of water resistance, the kind of top level models these days, but that's water resistance. It's not waterproofing.
Proof.
And if enough water gets into any of the cavities on the phone, like the connection ends, then you will have problems, and you don't want that to happen. They're very expensive devices, and you could lose some like precious memories that are stored on there if that happens to it. So these like little pouches, they still allow you to use your touch screen when it's in the pouch, and they come with a lanyard that you can kind of hang around your neck or maybe tie around your belt or something like that, so that even if you're on a boat or something like that, if you drop it, it's not going to go far. And because you can still use your touch screen, you can still take your pictures and do all of that. It's just a small thing that actually can make a big difference.
And even if you're going to very humid climates as well, the humidity can mess with our technology as well, and I always think that's a good one. They're so cheap as well.
Yeah, you think like there's good ones that are around like 39 quid with a good strong lanyard on them, but I'm sure you can get them even cheaper than that as well. Just check that they have good waterproofing. They should have a certification for their waterproofing.
Okay, you're getting on the flight. You're stressed out of your eyeballs because you've got 1, 2 or 3 children with you. You're panicking as to going, am I going to get to the other end without actually losing it here? So you've got your iPad, you've got tablets for the kids, you've got everything ready to go. Don't make the mistake that my sister-in-law did and not download the cartoons from the device before she got on the flight.
Yeah.
So important.
You don't have Wi-Fi on flight unless, like, you know, it's a long haul flight and some airlines provide that at a cost. And
you're paying for that.
You might
Wi-Fi
get
then.
Stung in the air then.
But
and
a lot of the European routes, they don't have it.
Oh, yeah. You should absolutely download stuff because it also saves you money for having to use Wi-Fi on the flight, which often is unstable anyway, even if you do get access to it. So download in advance. Like I do it for podcasts when I travel. You can download books, download your Netflix favorites, all that kind of stuff. Just make sure you have lots of space on your phone to store it all.
Yeah. And well, what we do as well is delete it then once you come home and upload new ones then for the next trip. Portable speakers, talk to me about those.
Yeah, so what I would do here, if you're buying a portable speaker online, I'd bear in mind that there's kind of a shift in the market here where some speakers that are marketed as portable, they kind of mean portable for maybe carrying around the house or maybe out on a picnic, and they're not really thinking for travel, because for travel you want things to be as light as possible, if, especially mm-hmm. if you're trying to pack light and keep it to the one case or whatever. So do check the actual weight of it. Just because it says it's portable, it still might be a little bit bulky and a little bit heavy for you. So if you're buying online, that's a good thing to do. If you're buying in person, you can actually see for yourself and try it out. But there's great portable speakers out there. Some of them are waterproof as well. So again, if you're going to be poolside at the beach, they're a great investment because they're not going to get too damaged. And some of them like have great, great sound. If you're looking at brands like Logitech, you tend to get really good sound quality.
Okay. Always good to have Google Translate ready to go on the phone as well. And then Google Maps, because I found this interesting. I only found this out very recently that, you know, when you're in an airport, say that you've not been in before, whether it's a long haul flight, but say Frankfurt Airport, which is absolutely massive because it's a real thoroughfare in terms of world travel. And it's so huge. There's so much to Frankfurt Airport. You can actually put in Google Maps and figure out the distance, say, from one gate to the next. It also tells you what's available in the airport as well. So it's a good one to think about, isn't it? It's good one to have on the phone.
Like, airports are massive complexes. So like, even though you're in a building, Google can still tell you the distance between your terminal one to your terminal five if you need to make a connecting flight and want to plan ahead for that. Like, and that's really useful information. And for walking distance, it tends to overestimate. So if you're a fast walker, you can usually do quicker than what Google estimates. So that's good as well in terms of advice. If you're a slower walker, account for that as well.
Yeah, or if you've got kids, you know, at least it can give you that sense of time.
And some airlines as well, or some airports will have services as well. If you go to their websites, they might have, like I know in Dublin Airport, I use this all the time. They have WhatsApp notifications for your flight. So you do a search for your flight number and it will offer to plug into your WhatsApp and give you up to the minute notifications if there's a gate change, if there's a delay. And with the year that we've had in terms of delays and things like that, that's actually been really useful because it means you don't have to keep getting up to check the screens. You're getting those alerts straight to your phone. So like, look out for things like that.
Brilliant. Are you going on holidays yourself?
I've done
soon?
All my holidays. I'm trying to get them out of the way when it's cheap before summer hits, and then I'll go away again in October. So I'll just be in Ireland now for the next 4 or 5 months.
Happy days. All right, Elaine Burke, thank you very much for coming in to chat to me today. She is the host of For Tech's Sake podcast. I was hoping I got that right, which I think I did. All right, back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, author of Get Running and the founder of Forget the Gym and our resident run coach, Mary Jennings, is back in studio with us this week. Mary, great to see you. How are you keeping?
You too, Catherine. All good.
Good, good.
Great running weather.
Great running weather, absolutely. Yeah, I went out for a little one myself last night, so I was delighted. But you were out with our beginner Sinead last week. And let me know, how did you go?
Well, we got on great and I've been keeping in touch with her.
Yes.
Been on her case. So she sent me a little map of where she went the other night. Lovely. Evening run she did. And
well, remind
the
listeners, this is Sinead who hasn't, she's kind of starting from scratch in terms of running and hitting the 5k to do some of the runs with Ray.
Yeah, she is. We met last week in person and we kind of had a little run walk together to work out where she was at, and she'd done a bit before, but we kind of assumed she was nearly back to basics, but knowing she could get up a little bit more, say, quicker than a pure beginner. So she slot into kind of week 2 to 3 of a beginner's program.
Okay.
So I sent her away with homework and she's done 2 walk runs since I spoke to her last, and I'll be talking to her again over the next few days. And yeah, she's loving getting out and she's following the tips, I hope, of slowing down, enjoying it and fitting it into her routine.
And is she finding it easier yet? Because I always find it interesting when I talk to women who've just started running, because it does take time. It is that sort of uncomfortableness, and women talk about being out of breath and that fear that comes with being breathless.
Yes.
Is a big part of that fear around running, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's the uncertainty. If you've never done something before, not only do you have the fear of that, but you might also be a little bit self-conscious of thinking, you know, oh my God, what are my friends might think, or even strangers. You know, I often see that when I start with beginners groups, they're more comfortable running in a group of 10 or 20 women than they are to go out in their own neighbourhood and do a lap of the block, you know.
Because it is, like, even just the physical sensation of bouncing a little bit more.
I know, it's taking people out of their comfort zone, but it's trying to do it safely and comfortably. And we spoke on last week's podcast a little bit about sports bras and things like that. And just, I suppose, to reiterate that, I often think for women, like, that's nearly more important than the shoes.
100%.
You know, it's comfort, isn't it? If you don't feel comfortable and relaxed, then you're kind of, you're going to be tense the whole way throughout.
I always say that, bra first and shoes second.
Yeah, I think so. You know, if you're comfortable, and particularly women who have, say, a larger chest than I might have. You know, it's your support, it's your posture, it's how it impacts how you're standing. So it's not just the bounce. It's, you know, if you are you kind of tilted slightly forward, you might be bent more forward. That's going to impact your breathing, your posture, everything. So get the comfort right, and then
you're good to go. All right, today we're going to look at some of the setbacks when it comes to training, be it an injury or life getting in the way, because they happen and they can really throw you.
No, it is true. And like, we're a couple of weeks into this now, and I know there'll be some people who started gung-ho and all went to plan, and maybe the bank holiday weekend knocked them out the window for various different reasons, or maybe the heat of last week, or a work deadline, or like me, tripped over a stone and went flying. And so simple. I'm only saying that it can happen to anyone. An injury doesn't have to be, you know, from particularly running. Mine was just pure distraction and just tipped a stone, and you know, it set me back. I mean, I'm not training for anything major.
So what did you do? Did you strain an ankle?
Just a swollen knee and things like that. But it's more the caution of, okay, that now threw me back out a week. You know, it impacts your confidence maybe for someone, or it just, you know, plays around with the routine, particularly someone now who's following a plan here now to get to the end of June. And they might have thought, oh my God, everything's out the window now. I've done enough of these bits and pieces over the years to know you just adapt, you take your time, you ease back in. Probably the worst thing would have been to plough on through.
Yes.
You know, so to take a step back, see how you're feeling. So if anyone has had a setback like that, just a kind of more of a bad luck injury, shall we call it, just take your time and readjust. But, you know, other things, any kind of setbacks you have, you know, we can learn from them in many ways. So if it's something like an injury that you did too much too soon, or you wore the wrong gear, or do you know what's a really interesting one at the moment? People moving to flip-flop shoes. Nothing got to do with running.
Don't talk to me.
Did you notice that?
I was doing the garden at the bank holiday weekend, and I was doing it in flip-flops. Yeah. And that the next day, the backs of my calves were in flitters.
Well, if you
so
think,
I couldn't go for my run. I had to go to a Pilates class and start stretching them out.
Well, isn't that the thing? And people then might have gone for a run and blamed the run for that.
Yes.
Where actually, if you think of when you wear flip-flops, you're gripping your toes the whole time to hold the shoe on, which means the sole of your foot gets tight and up the back of the heel and the ankle. And then that's all tight. And you're thinking, oh, maybe it's this new running. Well, actually, it's just getting your toes out.
Because you do tend to clench your toes
isn't it?
Up the stairs and the flip-flops.
So to try and relax that out. But I mean, we can get over the setbacks. You just have to adapt and go at it again. Start fresh again.
Okay. All right. Well, Ray Darcy himself has joined us on the line from his jollies. Ray, how are you doing, sir?
Catherine, I can't believe you did the garden in your flip-flops.
I know. Like, and they tell me you're more a Birkenstock man.
Well, I do wear Birkenstocks, yeah. I find them very comfortable. But I'd never do the garden in them.
I know. And you know, I just started and I said, I'll go back and I'll change. I'll get into the runners. And I never did. But the calves the next day were in bits. But come here, we were talking.
Well, listen, Catherine, I heard you were out for a run last night, which is brilliant.
Yes.
Because I'd love to invite you on one of our 5K runs.
I am definitely going to be there for sure.
Which one? Because we're going to Buncrana and Sligo, Mullingar, Clondalkin and Avondale in Wicklow. Which would you like?
Well, I was about to say which is the shortest, but I know they're all 5K. I will have to check the dates, but probably I'd love to bring ye home and come in with ye in Dublin. In Cork Park.
Brilliant. Love to see you.
Absolutely. Come here, have you had any injuries yourself to running? Because you're a big runner, obviously, and you always turn out for the Operation Transformation runs as well over the years. Have you experienced injuries?
Well, of late, I have to blame my children. Because
that's a good place
to start. On the trampoline, I put my back out. And then I was playing basketball with Tom. I think it was October, before the weather turned. And I tried to, I thought I was playing for the Lakers or something like that, tried to do some fancy move. And before I knew it, I was in the physio. And I've only really recovered in the last month or so. So it's your brain thinking you can do one thing and your body saying, oh, no, you can't. So they're my injuries. And then back when I was starting off, you get it all. Mary will tell you. You just, because you're doing things with your body that you haven't done before. So you get niggles. But you can get through them. And if you have a friendly physio, or just take it easy.
And I think that's the one thing. If you are training for a 5K or you are training for a 10K, it is actually, and Carl Henry always says this as well, taking the time to assess where you're at, because the what you want to do is just keep going and push through the injury. And that's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of, we always say, listen to your body.
Yeah.
And because oftentimes you just head out the door and just have your eye on the finish line rather than thinking about how your body is. And sometimes our body will tell us long before we're injured.
Yeah, but some people listen to their body and they don't get out of bed, you know. Well, there's listening to your body and listening to your body.
There's a happy medium. And come here, right? We were talking about how the bank holiday can throw people off and going to on holidays and you're maybe having a glass of wine at night, blah, blah, blah. Have you kept the running up now on your jollies?
Oh, yeah, I'm a sad man, but I do. I enjoy running on holidays, yes. Mm. And we're going to Spain for a week next week and I'll bring the runners with me. And I enjoy running in places that I haven't run before.
Okay, and how are you in the heat?
Yeah, well, I'd run in first thing in the morning or in the evening.
Okay.
And then I feel not so guilty about whatever happens after that. So there you go.
It's done. The box is ticked. All
exactly,
right.
Well, exactly.
Well, listen. I can't wait.
Well, I just remind them, Catherine, before I go. I'll just remind them because I'm here. Because that's why I took this time out off my holidays. It's just to encourage people to join us on our 5Ks. And we're in Buncrana and Sligo and Mullingar. And then Avondale and up to Corker Park. And you're going to be there on that day.
Yep.
That day. And you can go to runwithray.ie. Runwithray.ie.
That's where people can sign register. Up.
And you get the, and you're doing a great job. And happy birthday, Sharon Shannon.
Oh,
that was mighty stuff, wasn't
she
it?
She is just magic, isn't she? She's a great magic. Woman. Well, listen, go and enjoy the rest of the holidays now.
Enjoy.
Stay off that trampoline.
Thanks, Catherine. See you, Mary. Bye.
Bye,
now.
Bye. Thanks, Ray.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
In a couple of minutes' time, I will be chatting to the gaff goddess, Laura DeBarra. She's going to be joining us to help ease you into the summer months. And we're going to be talking all about those dreaded summer pests, the fruit flies and the ants and the blue bottles. So if you have any issues and you want to get a question into her, you can text 51551 or ray@rte.ie and we'll get them into her later on. But now it is time for this. Yes, it is our whodunit quiz and we have two people on the line who are ready to answer three whodunit questions. It can be on anything, music, sport, TV, books, politics, and like all good whodunits, there will be clues. So if our players choose to answer without a clue, they get 2 points, and if they opt for a clue because it's easier, they will get 1 point. And today they are playing for a fantastic prize. It is 2 nights bed and breakfast plus dinner for two people at the River Lee in Cork, which is part of the Doyle Collection. It has a gorgeous riverside location, great bedrooms and dining and drinks options to suit a lazy summer evening. So a weekend in Cork has never looked better. So to find out more and to book your late summer stay, you can visit doylecollection.com/Cork. So we asked you guys today, Harry Styles is playing in which iconic castle this weekend? Was it Slane Castle or Blarney Castle? And it is, of course, Slane Castle. So two people on the line we have player number one, who is Mags Murphy, and player number two, who is Mary Kelly. Good afternoon, ladies.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Well, Mags, I'll start with you as player number one. I believe you are a big fan of the quiz.
Oh, big fan, yes. Myself and my granddaughter shout on the radio every day.
Well, you're finally here. This is your big moment. So
wow.
I'm sure you'll do very well. And who's your granddaughter?
My granddaughter is Libby. She's here beside me.
Oh, fantastic. Hiya, Libby.
Hi.
Okay, so you're going to be there supporting your grandmother today. And you guys are just down the road from Slane, Mags.
That's right, yes.
Are you going? Have you got your feather boa? Are you heading to Harry Styles?
Well, I'm not, no, but my daughter and my granddaughter are both going, and my son-in-law, so they're all heading off early tomorrow.
Ah, brilliant. I'm sure you've seen some great acts there in Slane, have you, it being on your doorstep?
I did, yes. I saw Bruce Springsteen many moons ago.
Oh, amazing. What a performer.
That was fabulous.
All right. Well, listen, stay on the line. Libby, make sure you keep her calm now. Keep her calm. Mary Kelly, good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon. How are you?
I am not too bad at all, thank God. Mary, how are you and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ardra in County Donegal.
Beautiful part of the world. And what are you up to today?
Well, I'm actually at work at the minute, so looking out at the sun.
Lovely
day we have.
Fabulous. So you can't wait to probably get out and head for a walk, I'd say.
Yes, going for a walk now after a while, in about an hour or so. So
lovely. And then where would you normally go for your walk up there?
Well, I'm going to go for a walk at the Mahara Beach, which is about five kilometres from here.
And, beautiful.
It's a lovely beach and a great walk and lovely views and
with sand, and it's just at the edge of the ocean. So it's a lovely place, and we do get a lot of visitors to the area, and they really do enjoy going to Mahara to the walk, walk the beach.
Oh, it's stunning. We brought our camper van there and we had a ball. Fantastic. And then your hubby is away at the moment, it says here.
He's away in Galway today and heading to Clare tomorrow. He's doing internal exams in different schools. So
you have a nice quiet house tonight then?
Well, for today anyway.
All right, ladies. Okay, well, it's Mags and Mary playing. So do you want to wish each other the best of luck, girls?
Good luck, Mary.
Good luck, Mags.
All right, Mags, we're going to start with you. And the first category is all female bands. Okay, so we're talking female bands. Do you want a clue, Mags? Or for 2 points, are you going to go for no clue?
No clue.
No clue. All right, here we go. For 2 points, all you got to do is listen to this, Mags, and tell us who is this band? But you're wrong. All right, Mags, who's that?
That's the Spice Girls, Catherine.
Woo! Well done. Yeah. Amazing. Good for you. That was the Spice Girls with Who Do You Think You Are? Fair play, Mags. That is 2 points on the board. Mary, would you have got that one?
Not really, no.
Okay, okay. Well, that's good. So your category is also all female bands. What do you think? Would you like a clue, Mary, or no clue?
I have a clue.
You're going to take a clue. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is for 1 point then, Mary. And your clue is they are not quiet. Something gonna ooh, jumping on my tutu. Something inside of me wants them part of you. Something gonna ooh, makes my heart go boom, boom. Something inside of me wants in what you do. Something gonna ooh, jumping on my tutu. Something inside of me wants them part of you. Okay, Mary, who's that?
Arctic Monkeys, no?
No, unfortunately not. The clue was they're not quiet because the band were Girls Aloud. That was the answer. Okay. We were looking for hard luck, not to worry. Mags, that means we are coming back to you and our
the nerves.
Just gather yourself now, Mags. Gather yourself. Our second category is Oscar-winning actors. Okay, Oscar-winning actors. So what do you think? Would you like a clue or no clue, which will get you 2 points?
Oh, I'll go for no clue.
No clue. I like your style, Mags. Okay, so no clue. This is for 2 points. Remember, it is Oscar-winning actors is who we are looking for. So all you got to do is tell me who this is.
Good morning. Here I am in my homeland in Wales. And at 83 years of age, I did not expect to get this award. I really didn't. And very grateful to the Academy and thank you. Really did not expect this. So I feel very privileged and honoured. Thank you.
Who's that, Mags?
Oh, I can picture him. He's in Silence of the Lambs.
Come on, Mags!
Oh, come on, quick silence. No.
Do you know what? Yeah, the clue.
Anthony Hopkins.
Yes. Oh, Mags, unfortunately, though, it was too late. It was too late. And the clue was he portrayed Dr. Hannibal Lecter in Silence of the Lambs.
Not to worry.
Okay, well, where we sit now is 2 points on the board for Mags. Mary, you have got yet to collect a point. Your category, Mary, is also Oscar-winning actors. So 1 point with a clue, 2 points for no clue. What do you think?
I'll go no clue.
No clue. Okay, so this is to get 2 points on the board. All you got to do is tell me, who is this Oscar-winning actor?
Making The Revenant was about man's relationship to the natural world, a world that we collectively felt in 2015 as the hottest year in recorded history. Our production needed to move to the southern tip of this planet just to be able to find snow. Climate change is real. It is happening right now. It is the most urgent threat facing our entire species.
Who's that, Mary?
Donald Sutherland.
Oh, hard luck.
Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, unfortunately, it was Leonardo DiCaprio. That was who we were looking for, and that speech was from 2015 when he won for Best Actor. So that means we have got to go back to Mags. And Mags, at this point, this is our third category, okay? So you can win this round if you go, you can get 1 point, which means you're the winner because Mary can't catch you. So it's up to you. What do you think?
Oh, I'll go for 1 point.
1 point, okay.
Yeah.
So if you get this right, Mags, that means you are the winner today because Mary cannot catch up with you, okay? So our third category is Irish celebs. 1 point with a clue, 2 points for no clue. So you're going to go for a clue, and your clue is watch out for the Banshee. Who is this Irish celeb?
And I needed it, actually. I didn't know how much I needed it, because look, I have two sons, James and Henry, and a bunch of family here, so I don't spend my days, you know, being melancholy for Ireland, but when I go back home and when I land back home, that place makes a sense to me. Feel it in a way that I don't think I'll ever feel anywhere else, and that's fine. So it was wonderful to get home.
Who's that, Mags?
Oh, no. I'm torn between Colin Farrell.
You got it! Oh, my, Mags, just by the skin of your teeth. Colin Farrell was the answer that we were looking for. Well done.
Because I didn't know whether it was him or the younger lad, Barry, whatever his name was.
Oh, you got in by the skin of your teeth. Well done. That means, great. Mags, you are our winner today. Unfortunately, Mary, that means we will we won't be sending you to Cork, but we will be sending you out a Ray D'Arcy Show Keep Cup. So well done to you. We'll be sending that up to Donegal. But Mags, you are the winner today. You must be happy.
Oh,
and Libby
so
must be thrilled.
And Libby is dancing around here.
Oh, well, enjoy. Well, that's going to be quite the conundrum then. Does that mean that you have to take Libby with you to Cork, maybe?
Oh, I don't know now. I don't know. Well, we put ideas into our head. Catherine.
We'll let you argue that out amongst yourselves.
Yes, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Thank
Listen,
you so much.
Lovely to chat to you today, Mags. Okay. Take care. Nice to chat to you, Libby. Enjoy the rest of the evening. Back after this.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
The wonderful Paul Simon there with Graceland. All right, summer has arrived, despite what the weather may look like today in Dublin anyway. And with it can often come those dreaded summer pests. So how can we avoid any unwanted visitors in our homes? Joining me now is author of Gaff Goddess and Decor Galore, Laura de Barra. Good afternoon, Laura.
Hi, how are you?
I am great. Not a bother. You keeping well?
I am. It's nice and sunny here in London, so I'm just enjoying that.
Good. Well, let's get straight into it. Like, what kind of pests are people seeing at this time of the year particularly?
So I think like the main two that people see, fruit flies and then moths. I often get contacted about at this time of year because this is when you start to see them flying around. Mainly because like you've probably opened your wardrobe and you're digging into the back of it, pulling out stuff from summer.
Yes.
And then you're realising that stuff maybe you haven't worn in a while or haven't moved in a while has released a moth. And people often think that it's just about kind of like killing the moths that you see and then that's the end of it. But they're the moths that you don't need to worry about. Those ones don't have like mouths. They just have little straw holes. So they're not eating your clothes. It's their larvae that's currently on the garments that you have.
Okay.
So that can be a big issue this time of year. So the main thing to do, I think, with all summer pests, they're there for a reason in our world. Like they're even fruit flies and things like that. Like they're scientists love a fruit fly because they share so many genetics with us that has to do with a lot of like genetic diseases. So they end up being studied a lot. So you just want to keep them out of your home and annoying you rather than just killing every single one that you see. So a lot of the times you just have to establish why they're coming into your home in the first place.
Okay.
So an example now is
let's concentrate on fruit flies first because that's a big one here. Like, so what's attracting them in the first place?
Anything fermented, because they're not going, oh, that's stunning, I'll have a little bite of that there. Anything that's got fermentation going on is perfect for them to lay their eggs, and then it can hatch within like a piece of rotting fruit. It doesn't have to even be that much moisture. It can just be like a tiny layer of beer at the end of a can, your drains, things like that.
Okay.
So it's rather than people being like, oh God, the fruit flies are just attracted to the fruit, they're actually just going, oh, stunning, I can just can hatch a few eggs in there. So what you want to make sure, because sometimes people just remove the piece of fruit that they're on or whatever, but they could have already have like nested a few eggs inside there. So what you want to do is keep anything that's fermenting, like fruit is just decaying anyway after it's been picked. You want to keep that in the fridge. When you keep it in the fridge, keep it away from your salads, because they're ethylene producers in a big way, and they can make things like leaves and lettuce and cucumbers go off really quickly. So keep them in a crisper box where they're able to just do their thing. Fruit bowls, if you want to keep your fruit out, like sometimes people have a busy kitchen, kids that they want to be able to just grab their food as they go, they don't have to ask every time. Just make sure you're washing that bowl out every single day and rinsing the fruit before you're eating it. When it comes to drains, if you cannot figure out where you've got fruit flies, it could be your drains. I would tape like a sandwich bag or similar over a drain at nighttime. And when you come out in the morning, if there's flies inside that bag, kind of crumple it up a bit so they get caught in there. You'll know it's your drains. To clear that, you want to get rid of anything that's kind of fermenting down the drain. So that would be vinegar and bicarb, 50-50. You don't want them to do anything. You want them just to fizz against each other. That'll kind of rattle the drain through, and then some hot water down after it. And then your bin, just keep it closed, wipe it down, clean it more than you would normally. And make sure you keep your bin out of direct sunlight or away from your hot appliances. So I see people put like their food bin, you know, that
their
they'll
compost
put into compost
bin. Yeah.
On top of their dishwasher on the counter, and it actually just heats the food up all the time. Like we have nowhere else to put it in our kitchen but above the dishwasher, so we just take it off anytime the dishwasher's on. Same with the washing machine. Even the cupboard under the sink is usually next to the washing machine and the dishwasher, and that'll heat up every time that appliance goes on. So you just want to be careful of things like that in summer. Then to trap the flies that are coming in, if you get rid of anything that's attracting them, eventually they will go. But if you've got some in there now, you don't want to use loads of plastic. Just get apple cider vinegar, which to them is just like the Holy Grail. Pop that into a jar or a glass, make a cone with paper and just with a tiny little opening in it, a little bit of squirt of washing up liquid, because that will create a sticky film at the top of the apple cider vinegar. They'll be attracted by that. They'll fly in. They won't be able to come back out. That should kind of cull anything for now. But you want to mainly, instead of just killing flies all the time, just get rid of what they're after.
Okay. Okay. All right. So that's our flight. And does that, is that for specifically, sorry, for fruit flies?
Because fruit
blue
flies,
bottles
yeah.
are another big problem that we have as well time of the year.
I think they're more after rubbish. Like fruit flies get their name fruit flies because they like to basically put their eggs into fruit. Mm-hmm. So with blue balls and stuff like that, that's mainly just rubbish. You just want to make sure that you're, like with our flats here, like there's in London, there's like a big problem with loads of flies because there's so many bins all over the place. I have just like a mesh curtain in front of my windows, so I can still keep the windows open. It still looks fine. I'm still getting enough daylight, but it's stopping them coming in. Like you don't have to keep all your windows closed. Make sure that you keep lids on your bins. Make sure that you're changing your bins more in the summer than in the winter. Things like that will keep it at bay as well. If you have like outdoor bins, just keep them far away from your doors and windows.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about ants then.
Yes.
Because we're out in the gardens a lot more. And actually, I've just got a text in here. Last year we had flying ants on a few occasions. We had to cancel a barbecue as they were so bad. There seems to be a lot of ants in a patio area between two rockeries. The patio is made of small bricks. The ants are under a few pots on the patio. My neighbours don't seem to have as many as we have. How can we keep the ants from flying or get rid of them altogether? I am put off gardening because of them.
Well, usually like with anything like this, it's preventing really easy accessible food sources for them, because they can be super annoying. You're not going to sit down and enjoy a barbecue when there's ants basically flying and mating all around you. That's why they start like flying.
So is that why they start flying?
That a lot of the times that's like a certain type of ant is just like different kind of like colonies of ants just getting together, and you're having like a barbecued burger in the middle of it all.
Wow.
So you kind of want to avoid a bit of that. So and again, you don't want to just be like become like a mass murderer of ants in your home, you know what I mean? So because we need these things to keep on going with other kind of ecosystems and stuff like that. So you just want to make sure that you're not the girl that's feeding them. So usually it's a damp, dark place with some kind of food source, like a rotting wood, like a rockery would make sense. A lot of times it's when people are putting down different types of soils and stuff like that, adding it onto rockeries, and some of them have dried bark in it, and that can attract them. So you want to just make sure that you're figuring out where the main kind of colony of the ants is, and you're cleaning that up or filling it up or filling in the gap in the patio that they're coming from. People often will like pour boiling water down there and stuff like that, but you're going to have to keep on doing that. You want to get rid of why they're being attracted. It's nature. They will go somewhere else if you kind of clear it up.
And that goes for indoors as well, because ants indoors in the summer is a problem too, right?
Yeah, and like it's so easy to like caulk or silicone up gaps, especially if you're in a ground floor flat. You'll find spiders and ants this time of year, and September as well. It can get really, really bad. So you just want to close up any gaps and just get rid of anything that's attracting them. You'll often find as well with flying ants, if you just suddenly get it and you're like, I need to get rid of them now, I'm about to have dinner, if you spray water and washing up liquid, that is a really good non-toxic, like non-harmful way to just like spritz the air. Harmful to you, obviously harmful to the flying ants, but like if you just want a quick fix, but then do it, just basically sort why they're coming to your garden.
Mm. And you know, you see them a lot, those coils, when you're on holidays, specifically for flies and mosquitoes when you're eating out. Like if we are in the garden, do those repellent coils and the candles work for flies and ants here?
They can. The thing is, there's different things on the market now. Citronella candles, for example, are like, they can be a bit of a farce, because sometimes they're just yellow candles or like they have a really small percentage of the essential oil that's in there. So what that does is it actually, mosquitoes come around because they kind of like, oh my God, the smell of humans, this is divine, I need this blood. So if you have citronella candles lighting, it's stronger and they hate the smell of it than your scent.
Okay, so that's what you're doing. The human smell.
Yeah. Okay. But if you have one tiny candle with a tiny bit of the oil in it, what's she doing? Not very much other than an atmosphere. So you want to add enough. You want to make sure that you're reading up on it, specialist brands, not just kind of like a supermarket one where they've just put it out because it's the time of year and they know it's going to sell. Then there's also ones that are like chargeable ones that you can put out that you fill it up probably every summer. Like you can get different fillers for it. And those you can basically plug in, charge, and then put them on top. If you don't want to use a lot of candles, they can be quite good because they're a bit more advanced. Sometimes some experts say that the citronella candles just aren't strong enough. And mm-hmm. then also it's a lot of wastage each time. So it can be better to buy a device instead that emits a repellent that's not harmful to us, but is harmful to pests that are around. And it doesn't kill them. It just repels them.
Rather than
having something where you're hearing a fly hit an electric kind of like circuit every time.
Well, do you know what I've seen before is in where restaurants and they burn coffee at the table. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of similar to like, you know, when you're doing perfume testing and you kind of clear your nose by sniffing coffee, it's a really strong smell and it can eliminate odours. You're just creating a scent that's stronger than a human scent.
Okay. All right, Laura de Barra, as always, lovely to chat to you. There seems to be a big concern about moths as well. You kind of tackled it earlier on, but...
Mm-hmm. My book, Gaff Goddess, has a whole section on moths because I'm obsessed with moths. So
okay.
That, if anyone needs that, it'll help you save your expensive clothes.
All right. Listen, lovely to chat to you as always. Have a lovely evening, Laura. That is all from us today. Stay tuned for Sarah and Cormac on Drive Time, and I will chat to you guys tomorrow.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.